All right, so this is John, worst comic podcast ever, back again, and we are doing another episode of what we call Between Two Tables. And at cons, we like to talk to our neighbors on either side, and so we actually have sort of on our left-hand side here at O Comic Con, we sort of have two businesses that are here together. So why don't you guys introduce yourself, Leah? We'll start with you.
Okay, my name is Leah Smith, and I do freelance illustration. And at my table, I'm selling prints, and I'm doing commissions also.
And I've had a chance to look over her shoulder a few times, which has been nice. She's been very generous to let me creep over there and take a look. But very, very incredibly impressed with what I've seen.
You're obviously
a very great artist, and you work exclusively digitally, is that correct?
Yeah, I use a Wacom Cintiq Companion 2, and I use Photoshop for all my stuff.
Photoshop I've heard of. The other one, I have no idea what that was you just said. But I know for people who are artsy, they'll know more about that.
So yeah. Wacom kind of has the monopoly on digital art tablets right now. So
it's a very slick setup. And in talking to you earlier, it sounded like this was a new setup for you.
Yeah. I'm used to having a keyboard with me all the time. And you can buy, of course, a separate keyboard peripheral to go with the companion.
Right.
But I have to relearn how to use the button strips on the side and stuff that I've never had to worry about before. So I'm getting more used to it, though.
It definitely has appeared from the periphery on my side that it has become more fluid for you. It seemed like when I first kind of watched, I was watching, because what she has is a monitor facing forward so that people walking by can see what you're working on. And so I just kind of remember, it seemed like a couple times I was watching and it seemed like you were kind of hunting for stuff.
Yeah, I was struggling a
little bit.
And now
it just seems like boom, 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 boom.
It's gotten more efficient.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I've been doing, I think, 6 hours a day at least, just drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that'll definitely help, build those automatic sort of things real quick. So how did you get into illustration? Have you always been a lover of art and stuff?
Yeah. Well, I guess when I first started drawing, all little kids just draw,
Right.
So, for me, it was Disney princesses. I would just draw what I saw on the screen. And then I just kind of never stopped drawing. And then I think in 2009 I got a job at a local mobile game studio.
Okay.
And so I was able to do art full-time, 8 hours a day for 5 years. So
nice. And you had a number of different things. You were doing commissions here, and I saw a great Hawkeye Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I've also done, some people have wanted me to draw their original characters, and so they'll send me pictures of the characters they've done, and I do my own interpretation of them.
Yeah.
And I've had one guy, he wanted his own portrait, just his face, so I did that, and he's like, oh cool, do my daughter, and so I did his daughter. He's like, okay, now do all my other kids and my wife and my business partner.
Oh, so that was Garganetti. You had him over here earlier, didn't
you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're super nice guys, so
yeah,
that's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's a lot to do in a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you also had some sewn together pieces.
Oh yeah. I found a really cool website called spoonflower.com.
Okay.
And it lets you print directly onto fabric, and it doesn't have to be a CMYK file. It can just be RGB. I don't know if you are familiar with what those are.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. So you just send them your files, and they'll print you yards of fabric with your stuff on it, and so you just cut it out and sew it together, and it's super easy.
Man, I just want to make a whole suit that's just my face.
You could.
I easily could. Luckily, I have a wife who would easily talk me out of such a foolish action. So
wouldn't she want that, though, for herself?
No. Okay. No, she wouldn't. She sees me enough as it is. So, and you totally sold out of that.
I did. I was surprised. I don't think I made them expensive enough. I think I undersold.
That's an adjustment. That's something definitely you learn, and you figure out what people want. And you want it just enough to where they have to think about it for a second,
yeah,
I think, before they buy it.
This is the second convention I've ever been to.
Okay.
So I'm still working out price points and stuff like that.
Well, I will say for the second convention, you guys have a very slick setup. I mean, the way you have all your stuff packaged and bundled and presented, your banners and everything are very impressive. They definitely make an impact.
Oh,
so,
thank you very much.
Yep. Yeah. And that's because I've seen people who have done lots of shows and still haven't figured out. I mean, I'm putting myself in there too. Still haven't figured out how to sort of present and package that. So
yeah,
very nicely done.
We lucked out because we did not prototype this before we came here.
Okay.
So physics kind of reminded us that it was a thing when we were putting it up.
Yeah.
But we brought zip ties, so hasn't killed anyone, didn't fall on a kid today.
Nope.
So, yeah, we got lucky on this one.
Very good. Yeah. And so that other voice.
Hello.
We haven't introduced you yet, so introduce yourself.
My name's Tony Ferguson. Do you want me to talk about, like,
yeah, please do, yeah.
All right. I'm here selling T-shirts and prints of my own design, and I started doing that as a culmination of a series of catastrophic life events that culminated into working at a shirt shop and starting my own business and springboarding off of that. I'm not there anymore at the shop, but I still maintain a relationship with them, so yeah. They've been really great helping me do all my printing and everything.
Well, and I know, and we'll talk about design here in a second, but I'm just kind of curious that experience of working at the t-shirt shop and seeing people order stuff and learning sort of the do's and don'ts has to be very, very useful experience now you start thinking about, because, you know, we're looking at getting t-shirts just for us, and it's like, okay, you know, we've got, you know, 3 40-year-old, you know, mid-40 dudes and a 25-year-old, you know, girl who's very athletic, and it's like, you know, okay, what shirts do we need to get to accommodate everybody and our families and if we want to sell stuff? And so I'm sure for you, sort of seeing sizes and all that kind of stuff and styles of shirts, oh my gosh. Well, let's see. Here's 18 different brands of shirts. Which were those would you like?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and then here's the different cuts. I don't know. I give up.
There's like tears of, like, when I was at the shop, there were like tears of people that came in like, can you just put my face on it? It's like, I don't care. It can be like on an apron and I'll just wear it. And it's like, great, we'll do that. And then there people would come in like, it needs to be cut this way. I don't like it when it touches my back. It can't have a tag. And then everyone doesn't, and then by no fault of their own, like no one understands the screen printing process.
Right.
And before I worked there, I didn't either. Like, we both worked at a game studio, and we would make shirt designs and we would hand off the designs and it would come back. And we're like, why doesn't it look like the screen? Why doesn't it look like it did on the computer? I don't understand. But yeah, I, like, day one, like, I saw everything that I was doing wrong, like giving shirt designs to the shops, and it just changed everything. So, like, if you look at some of these other shirt shops around here, like even the one you're wearing, like, it's got gradients and everything and like a lot of colors. I can't do more than 4 colors just because of cost.
So the price point goes way up.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want to charge people more than like $20 per shirt. Like, even the big shirts, my costs go up as the sizes go up,
right?
But I don't want to pass that on to my customers. So, like, I got to balance, like, the colors I use and the shirt sizes I order. So I only carry like small to 2X. So, like, I learned all of this just like in 8 months at the shirt shop.
About
8 months, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, and quantity is such a big, I mean, for me, the, as we're looking at ordering shirts, you know, one of the, besides color, are you printing on both the front and the back?
Yeah, that's a consideration.
And then the quant, you know, for us, we're keeping our design pretty simple, so then the big factor becomes quantity. If you're buying 10, it's a lot more expensive per shirt than if you're buying 30.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, and the other thing for you to think about, I don't know how familiar you are with the screen
this
printing.
This is going to turn into a t-shirt consulting podcast.
I'm
this
doing
is
a public
awesome.
Service. The people need to know this stuff,
right,
so
exactly.
You don't, like, you don't freak out the screen printers you go to. But, like, whatever your design is, the way screen printing works, it's going to be physically the same size no matter the shirt size. I thought it scaled, you know? Like, I thought, oh, big shirt, more design. Nope. If you got, like, a 5X, it's like an island, like, in the middle of a big shirt ocean. Does not look good in most cases.
Yeah, you're swimming out there,
So, yeah, like, the design must be static because the screens have, like, an emulsion.
Right.
And it's like a stencil, and then they just like squeegee ink onto it, and once the design is in the stencil, it has to be that dimension.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, yeah, don't get freaked out. Like, if you got a giant shirt and the design looks tiny, that's just contrast.
I'm not sure why you keep looking at me when you talk about the giant shirt, but that's fine. I mean,
I'm just trying to broadcast all the information right into your head.
Right, okay.
So that when you have to tell somebody,
right, in the audience who are listening, this is for you to understand.
Right, I'm looking at them too.
Right.
I'm looking at them right in
the
ears.
In a metaphorical looking
right
sense
in their ears.
The yep. So if people want to go online, people who aren't here, since this isn't going to air until later.
Okay.
So we're not live. This does not have an antenna or anything, right? I'm not that impressive.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to go online and look at your stuff, look at your designs, look at your art, where should they go?
You first.
We'll start with Leah.
My website is leah-smith.com.
Okay, so L-E-A-H-S-M-I-T-H.
Yep.
Yep. Comic.com. We're not in England where there'd probably be a Y in there.
Something fancy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's all kinds of letters just thrown in for no reason.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, leah-smith.com. And they can go see stuff about your illustration and your other things that you have for sale. And can they do commissions through there if they wanted to contact you?
Yeah, my email address is listed on my About Me page. So
great. Perfect. And then...
And the shirt thing is a complete side thing for me. So, like, all my, like, actual art and what I do for a day job, that's completely separate. But everything that you can buy from me is all on tmaki.com. And that's T-E-E-M-A-K-I. And it's not apparent from my booth because I don't have the time for it. But the whole gimmick is, like, I like to roll the shirts up like sushi and bind them in green paper.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
I took Teimaki and added an E for the T. So I feel like I gotta explain that. Like, people get it when they get the rap, but, like, I haven't been able to rap anything, so everyone's like, oh, Teimaki, that's weird. Oh, I like your shirts.
Right.
Yeah, but it's teimaki.com. It's an Etsy store right now, but
gotcha.
Teimaki will take you right to it.
That's perfect. And it seems a lot of your designs are, it seems like there's a lot of video game sort of theme stuff.
Yeah.
Is that your, would you say is your primary
absolutely.
Inspiration for those?
Yeah, I got a, everything, like, I wanted to start out with, like, a video game general shirt shop where, like, all games are accommodated, but I can't stop playing, like, Mario and Zelda, so, like, that's all I've got.
Right.
I've got a Final Fantasy shirt, but yeah, it's largely, I try to hit a broad range, but it's mostly Nintendo and a little bit of Sony, and there's, like, one movie shirt over there. So it's kind of pop culture and games.
Yeah, totally. And I think you find, you know, for the people who love each game, when they see that shirt that's just like nothing else, because your stuff is really unique, but when they see that stuff that's just like nothing else, and it kind of, it's like, oh my gosh, he's in my head. Like, this guy knows what I've gone through with my time on Mario.
Yeah, that is my entire selling point, but I also feel kind of guilty about it, because, like, I didn't make Mario, you know, like...
True.
So, like, I'm playing off, I'm, like, standing on the shoulders of giants and, like, profiting from it. But, like, everyone really likes the shirts, and that's good enough for me.
There you go.
And I haven't heard from Nintendo yet, so...
Right.
We're good. Oh, I have. They like... the rep likes the shirts, so... So far, no litigy, no lawsuits. We're good. It all falls under, like, satire, though. Like, but
right.
I don't know the ins and outs of that. But there's a... Like, the T-Turtle booth is, like, all... copyrighted characters,
right?
But it's all like satire and like original design and all that too.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how that works either.
I'm not either. I got warned by so many people, like, "Oh, you're gonna get sued immediately," and
right.
I was like, "Oh, I'll find out."
Right.
And it's been 2 years.
Yeah, two years.
2 years, and I'm doing I haven't heard from anyone's lawyers.
Yeah. Good deal.
All the work's original. It's all original artwork made by my hand, but
right.
I'm using existing characters to kind of help it along.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it seems like this has been a good show for you guys. Have you had a good time?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Great.
This is out of the two conventions I've been to, this one has been way more profitable than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the first show you guys did?
NebraskaCon.
Okay.
We did in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Matt, you've met Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's doing an amazing job.
Yeah, for a first-time con, and I think he had some con experience before.
A little bit.
It's different when you're in the big chair than when you're handling certain details.
I think he worked on NebraskaCon for a while,
right.
Like, as just part of the team. And they now have grown to, like, 6,000, and they've been 6,000 attendees, and they've been doing it for, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
NebraskaCon's been around for, like, a decade.
Right.
And this is Matt's first time, and I think he smashed their numbers
right.
already. It's first time, yeah.
There's been a lot of people, and a lot of people for whom, at least a lot of people I've talked to, for whom this was a first, their first time at a con.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
And we're just, so I think the market was ready for it, and you know, he's filled that niche for people who aren't necessarily going to drive a long way. And people who are, it's their first con, and they're dressed up.
Yeah, I know.
They're ready for that. Like, they didn't say, you know what, I'll go and look, and next year I'll make a costume. People are like, they jumped in.
No, there they had it. There was a Master Blaster walking around earlier. Did
oh,
you see that? Yeah, that was awesome.
I saw him. He was over on the bat, the thing
oh,
where
the
you
rope.
Can look like you're climbing up the rope, and this Master Blaster climbing up the rope.
There was one girl who sat by our table, and she thought that this was, like, the Comic-Con, like the San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
like, there's not that many people here. I thought there would be crowds and, like, lines.
Yeah, that she confused them, though, is amazing.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Because this is actually not San Diego, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. I woke up this morning.
It's not that close. It's a heck of a drive to San Diego from here.
Yeah, I hate it when I wake up and I'm just in San Diego.
Well, San Diego... San Diego is really, I love it when I wake up and it's San Diego. That place is gorgeous.
When I know I'm going to be there, yeah, it's great.
Oh, well, that's just not as good a story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got no history.
You know, one of the things that San Diego is they don't even have enough room in the con for all the people who go to San Diego.
No.
I mean, there are thousands of people who go to San Diego just to hang out outside.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who just want to experience. They can't get in. They can't get a ticket.
They just want to stand in line real bad.
Tickets sell out in like a... Right, and tickets sell out in like a minute.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
they do. Yeah.
So people just go and they dress up and they hang outside and take pictures and everything and clog up the lines for food. So people who actually do get to go.
Yeah, when we, at the studio that we met at, that we worked at together, we went there for work to regular Comic-Con. And yeah, it was massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these guys share a booth. They're fiancéed, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're fiancéed up.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. It's nice to have somebody to share that sort of artistic thing with and to come for a weekend. But yeah, my wife will pop into a con, but she's not a, you know.
She's not into
She doesn't
it.
Embrace the nerd life like I do, so it's fine. That's good. We have other areas.
And when a shirt comes back from the printer that's a little bit sideways, she's the only one that can calm me down. It's like, it's okay. Like, no one cares.
It's going to be all right, man. Yep. Back off the ledge.
Yeah, so thank God for that. Thank God for Leah.
Thank you guys so much for talking to us and being great neighbors.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully we'll get some folks to go and check out your site and sort of spread the word of what you guys are doing.
Cool.
It looks like you guys are off to a great start on this career, and I just hope it continues to blow up for you.
Thank you very much.
It
was nice meeting you, John.
You bet. Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers.